Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. Are any one of you holding a grudge this morning? Just a couple. Have any of you been wronged by someone, or maybe you've wronged someone else? Is there some relationship with a brother or sister or friend that is fractured or broken or uneasy this morning? Or have you just not thought about it? In his sermon on forgiveness, Dietrich Bonhoeffer outlines the issue. He says all of those things similar to what I said, but then he says, or are we really so attentive that we say that we do not know anyone like this? Are we so indifferent to other people that we do not even know whether we are living at peace or at odds with them? Whether one after another may not someday stand up and accuse us, saying, you separated yourself from me in discord. You could not tolerate me. You broke off fellowship with me. You found me unsympathetic and turned away from me. I once did you wrong and you left me alone. I once wounded your honor and you broke with me, and I could not find you again. I often looked for you, but you avoided me, and we never spoke frankly with each other again. But I wanted nothing more from you than your forgiveness. And yet you were never able to forgive me. Here I am now, and I am accusing you. Do you still even know me? Whether or not in that particular hour names will come back to us in all of that, that we hardly recognize anymore. Many, many wounded, rejected, poor souls whose sin we did not forgive, and among these people perhaps even a good friend, or a brother or sister, one of our parents? Anyone here holding a grudge, angry with someone, have been wronged or wronged another? Did you remember to confess it at the beginning of the service? When we pronounced absolution at the end of the confession, did it make any difference at all? Did you even notice? Maybe we're like Peter. We're not sure we fully understand what forgiveness is. In this gospel lesson for today, Peter wonders how often we should forgive. I've had a tendency to read this text as if Peter wants a good, solid number so that he can get to that one and then forget about the whole thing. You know, I've forgiven you 7 times, I can check this sucker off now. How many times, Jesus, do we have to forgive when a member of the fellowship sins against us? 7? And Jesus responds, depending on which translation you read, 77 or 7 times 7, or the point being, of course, is that it is an unlimited number of times. Forgiveness is not like penance. I mean, after all, as I shared with the kids, when do we finally dispense our forgiveness? What is required? This is the part where you can talk back. An apology. We expect an apology, and by God, we are not going to give our forgiveness until the apology comes, until you have shown yourself to be penitent for the wrong that you did. In that respect, forgiveness, as we understand it, is based more on the justice system. We perceive it through the eyes of our legal system. If you do something wrong, then you are punished for it, or you must do some kind of penance to make up for it. It's the system that we're used to. We even see it in Scripture today in the reading about Israel and Egypt. Clearly, the Egyptians have done a terrible thing, and they've enslaved an entire people. And then finally, they are set free. The Israelites are set free, and they trek across the desert, and they finally get to the river, to the giant sea. And the Lord, through Moses, opens up the walls, and through the dry land they go. And it says in the scripture lesson for today that God caused the wheels of the chariots and the hooves of the horses to become mired in the mud. And the people of Israel passed over on dry land. The story could have ended there. The people are free. And if you remember the Cecil B. DeMille movie, I would always wanted to know the name of the lady at the very end as Moses is standing triumphant upon the rock. There's this little old lady with a basket. It was obviously an extra. And she's like, I'm getting out of here. And just as she clears the dry land, what happens? The waters fall in on the Egyptians. Transaction complete. It was not enough for Israel to be free. The Egyptians must be punished. In that transactional relationship, we cannot help as the walls of water fall in on those horrible Egyptians to begin to cheer. Yay, they got their own again. But it is a horrible story. Transaction complete. We even take natural disasters, some do, and we treat them like the sea crashing in on the Egyptians. I was so saddened and horrified when a very famous member of the Christian clergy proclaimed that the floods from Harvey and Irma were God's judgment. And he said that in fact, every state of the nation would be flooded until gay marriage was repealed in every state. He apparently hadn't read about the rainbow in Genesis. We take those natural disasters and turn them into God's retribution, God's justice, God's way of doing in those who have done wrong. But that is not forgiveness. That is not what Jesus speaks of. When Jesus finishes telling Peter how many times we must forgive, he tells a story. You remember the story, the unjust steward, the guy who owed his master how many talents? Do you remember? 10,000 talents. How many pounds of silver is a talent? 30. 30 times 10,000 is a bunch of silver. By one reckoning, it would be the equivalent of approximately 150,000 years of labor. It's not meant literally. It's supposed to overwhelm you. How could a slave incur that kind of debt? It's just an enormous amount that the slave owes the master, and the master forgives it free and clear. And a moment later, one of the other servants who owes the slave the equivalent of 15 years' labor cannot pay him, and he throws him into prison. In some ways, the slave sees forgiveness in the same way that perhaps we do, as a transaction. But that is not what forgiveness is. He could receive his own forgiveness and not forgive the next person because, after all, it's just business, right? It's just business. But forgiveness transforms the heart. And that's what Jesus is after. The slave's heart had not been transformed by the generosity. He did not receive what his master had truly offered, new life. Though released from debt, the slave hangs onto it with clenched fist and cold heart. He cannot let it go. So that when the next servant comes to receive that same grace, he simply cannot give it. For this man, forgiveness was a transaction, a business deal, a pretty nice business deal. But his heart did not receive what his master had offered. He seems such a fool, doesn't he? Why wouldn't you just forgive the next person? Apparently he hadn't seen the movie Pay It Forward. He just couldn't. We see him perhaps as a fool until we realize how odd it is then that, having been offered the grace of Christ, neither are we much transformed. Anyone holding a grudge? Anyone angry with someone else or having been wronged or wronged another? Have you been transformed in forgiveness? Or is it just a transaction? We receive this grace upon grace in God, not only because we need that grace and forgiveness for all that we are and in our brokenness, but that in God's light we are enlightened and made whole, fully and gracefully. God has given this incredible gift to us. And the responsibility to give to others and to forgive others. To be transformed in that love, in that forgiveness, is to be transformed in life. And yet, we hold on. What would it look like if we could begin to forgive without waiting for that really quite unnecessary apology? Because the forgiveness transforms not just the person forgiven, but the person doing the forgiving. Although in our story, we see Jesus say, look, you know, in this story, the guy that doesn't forgive, he has to go back to the master, and the master says, oh, you are a rat, and so I'm going to throw you in prison for the rest of your life. We do not see Jesus Christ up on the cross waiting for your apology. Look, I am not dying until every one of you has said you're sorry. But rather, he gives us love sevenfold by sevenfold by sevenfold, that we might be a blessing and forgiveness and light and love for the world. Amen.